You're listening to an audio sermon from Harvest Bible Chapel in Toronto West. For more information, please visit harvesttorontowest.ca.
Amen. Well, listen, we have a special message from God's Word, I believe, from Ephesians chapter 3, 14 to 21. If you have a Bible, just go right away to Ephesians chapter 3, 14 to 21. And if you don't have a Bible, you can slip up your hand, and one of the ushers on either side would love to bring a copy of the Word of God to you. We'd love you to take it home and read it if you don't own one, and have your life transformed by the book, which is the Word of God. Today, as we said, we celebrate 4 years as a church, and this is exciting to see. For me, I can't believe 4 years has gone by so fast, and God has done so much in such a short amount of time. God is working in our midst. God is working. And you know, John Piper said this. I hope this encourages your heart. It encouraged me. God is doing thousands and thousands of things constantly, all the time. And we, you and I, are just aware of like three of them or five of them or maybe 10 of them. God is working. And so we put our trust in Him. We believe that He's doing so much far beyond what we could even see or count in our minds. So Ephesians chapter 3, 14 to 21. The title of this morning's message on this anniversary Sunday is this. It's a prayer for power. A prayer for power. And our text this morning is a prayer, I want you to know. It's a prayer from the heart of the Apostle Paul to the Lord on behalf of the Ephesian church. He's praying some big things for them. And so this morning's message, I want you to understand this. This morning's message, as I'm preaching it, I'm praying it over our church. And I hope, loved ones, you can pray with me. We're going to pray these things that the Apostle Paul prays for the church in Ephesus, found for us in Ephesians chapter 3, 14 to 21. Let's look at it right now. Ephesians chapter 3, 14 to 21. This is what it says. The Apostle Paul says, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." Verse 20 says then, "Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we could ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Amen. Such a powerful prayer. And as I said, I'm going to pull some things from this passage that's going to be our prayer in this church. It's our prayer for the next 4 years, the next 14 years, the next 40 years. We pray that God will continue and intensify His work in our midst. So this is what we're praying. Are you ready? If you have a pen, I want you to write this down. We're praying this: Lord, let our church be, write this down now, empowered by Your Spirit. Lord, let our church be empowered by Your Spirit. We don't want the giftings of a man. We don't want the strength of human beings. We need the power of the Spirit of God. Notice verses 14 to 16 now. Paul says, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named." What is he praying for? "That according to the riches of His glory," this is what he's praying for, "He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being." Until now, you have to understand a bit of the context. The Apostle Paul has been communicating to the church in Ephesus, reminding them of their identity in Jesus Christ. He's been reminding them of their status. They are saved in Jesus Christ. They were once aliens and strangers, and now they are part of His kingdom. He's reminding them that they have been redeemed. They have been restored to Jesus Christ. He's reminding them of their status as believers in Jesus Christ.
Now he transitions with the prayer for them to actually live in a way that's consistent with who they are in Jesus Christ. Now, so many Christians walking around in this life, and we're not living consistently with who we are in Jesus Christ. We're living powerless lives. We're living hopeless lives. We're living defeated lives. The Apostle Paul's prayer for the church in Ephesus is that they may be strengthened with power in their inner being, in their hearts. And this is my prayer. This is our prayer on this fourth year anniversary for our church, that we would be empowered by his Spirit. So when he says, for this reason, he's saying essentially, because you are in Christ and Christ is in you, because you're no longer strangers and aliens, but you belong to the kingdom of God. Now, because of this, now I pray that you would begin to live an empowered life consistent with who God says you are because of the great salvation that you have received. So he's praying that the church be strengthened with power. But it's not just any kind of power. It's power that is supplied through the Holy Spirit. It's power that's supplied through the Holy Spirit that strengthens the inner man. And it's power that comes, the Apostle Paul tells us, from the riches of his glory. Now, how much riches of glory does God have? He's unlimited. And Paul is praying a big prayer here. He's saying, I'm asking you, God, to empower the church according to your unlimited resources and riches, empower them, widen their faith, strengthen them in their ministry to do the things they could not do on their own for themselves. We need to be strengthened with power. Now, we need to think about this for a moment. When we're hungry, where do we go? We go to the fridge to get some food. When we need some money, where do we go? We go to the bank because the bank has the money in the bank account. When we need comfort, we go to a friend. When you need anything, loved ones, you go to a source. You go to a source. The Apostle Paul is going to the source of great power. According to his riches in glory, he's praying that God would supply us, would grant us power. He's essentially saying, you, church, need to be strengthened with power, but you can't phone this in. You can't order this online. You need power from above that comes from the Holy Spirit of God. This is a power that comes from outside of us. We can't make this power come to us on our own. That's why you need to note the Apostle Paul right now is praying for this. He's praying. He's asking God to grant it to the church. And as I'm preaching, I'm asking God to give this to our church, to strengthen every individual in this place with power by the Holy Spirit, to strengthen our church, to strengthen our impact, to strengthen our influence in this community. This, loved ones, is a prayer for power. It's a plea that God would strengthen individuals in the church corporately by his Holy Spirit. And, loved ones, I want you to understand, it's a good prayer for us to pray on this fourth year anniversary. We've seen God do great things, but you just have to understand, we have not even seen what God can do. You have to ask God to strengthen your heart with faith here, to understand, to begin to see with faith, with new eyes of faith, what God can do in your life, in your marriage, with your children, in your family, in our church corporately, in our small groups, in our ministries, in our outreach endeavors, in this church. What can God do? God can do awesome things. And so we pray God, strengthen us, empower us, your church, strengthen us with power. There's a picture on the screen for you of a book that I read years ago. Years ago, I was just a teenager. I read this book, and I just got to tell you, it totally changed my life. It totally changed my life. I talk with other people that read this book, and they say the same thing. Well, I read this book, and it changed my life. It changed my whole perspective. In fact, much of what I read in this book shaped my perspective on this issue of prayer. It's a story of how some small, insignificant, lowly people in the inner city of Brooklyn, New York experienced the power of God, the transformation of thousands of lives, and the building of a world-renowned church in the neediest of places. The pastor of that church is Jim Cimbala. It's a remarkable story. I talk about him often because I'm so impacted by him. You hear me talk about him and reference him often because I've been so impacted by him. Well, I read a little bit about an interview that he was part of, and this is how he describes some of his experience. He says, here I am in the midst of a place where it was the perfect mission field to see the power of God manifested. But I was insecure, not polished. I came to the place where I knew, God, if you don't do this in the midst of drugs, alcoholism, prostitutes hanging two blocks away on either side of the building, God, if you don't come and do whatever has to be done and work in me and my wife, Carol, what are we going to do? He says, we can't do this with cleverness. He's talking about his mission. He was called to this church. It was just a small group of people, broken down, old building, and nothing going for him. And he went on to say, by the way, I think that that's one of the real detriments now in Christianity. Instead of Holy Spirit anointed preaching, we have an invasion of clever communicators. It's being reinforced by publications and conferences where the clever communicator who is organized with just the right illustration or visual or joke at the right time is lauded, and there's very little sense of a holy, transcendent God. People go home talking more about the preacher than they do about the awesomeness of God. And then he said this, my friend Warren Wiersbe, who's another well-known preacher and teacher, he said he wasn't sure if A.W. Tozer said it first, but he said, the Holy Spirit could leave this earth and disappear, and most churches wouldn't even notice. And when I'm preparing this message and I'm praying for this church and I'm thinking about all that God has done in just 4 short years and I'm thinking of all that he can do, I tremble when I read something like that and I say, Lord, let us never be that kind of a church that is so self-sufficient, that is so dependent on our own cleverness and our own abilities to pull off a service or our own musical talents or our own gifting to do whatever it is that we do. I say, Lord, let us be a church that is completely and utterly dependent on your Holy Spirit. Lord, strengthen us with power, that we would depend on this power, that we would not conduct our ministry in a way that is independent of this power, that puts on a good show and a nice program and people leave. And if the Holy Spirit were to be lifted from this church, I pray that we would collapse if the Holy Spirit left us. I pray we would fall apart. I pray we would not be able to take another step. Lord, empower us. Empower us. That's a very scary thought, to think that so many Christians and churches are living void of the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul prays that the church be strengthened with power through the Holy Spirit of God in our inner being. That's in our hearts. Let me ask you a question, loved ones. Do you want to be strengthened with power that is outside of yourself? Do you want to be part of a church that is being strengthened with power that is outside of the abilities of the preacher and the elders and the leaders and the small group leaders and the ministry leaders? Do you want to be part of a church that is able to say, we can't get through unless we have God with us? That's what this church must be and continue to be. And that's what we must desire to be. So, Lord, let our church be empowered by your Spirit. Secondly, write this down. Lord, let our church be submissive to Jesus Christ. Write that down. Let our church be submissive to Jesus Christ. Verse 17 now, but we'll start at verse 14. He says, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Here it is now, watch this. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Now here, Paul gives us the reason why we need to be strengthened with power. So that indicates that there's a reason why we need to be strengthened with power. It's so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. On the screen for you, listen to what John MacArthur said about this. He said, the proper order seems to be reversed here. Because every believer at salvation is indwelt by Christ and cannot have the Holy Spirit in the inner man until he has received Christ as Savior, Paul has already made clear that all believers are in Christ. He is therefore not here referring to Christ's indwelling believers in salvation, but in sanctification. So he's not talking here about, he's not saying to the church who's already put their faith in Christ that I want you to have strength to have Christ dwell in you. No, Christ dwells in us at the moment of conversion and at salvation. He's talking here about sanctification. He's talking about the idea here in this text is that Christ has come into our hearts and he's made our hearts his home, but how comfortable now is he as you progress in your heart? How much of your life is submitted to him? How much are you growing and progressing in sanctification? That's a fancy theological word that just means that we're growing more and more into the image and likeness of Jesus Christ. The old life is being put off day by day, and I still struggle with sin and wrestle with sin, but day by day it's being put off. Here, the Apostle Paul is saying, essentially, you need to be empowered. You need to be strengthened with power so that your life is increasingly surrendered to the lordship and authority of Jesus Christ. Now, there's so many believers even in this room today. I wonder if from the moment we put our faith and trust in Christ, that Jesus actually finds our hearts a very comfortable place to live. You know, there's this author or pastor named Robert Munger. He illustrated this with his famous writing called My Heart, Christ's Home. On the screen is a picture of the publication. It has this image of Jesus knocking on the door of the heart. He wrote this. He wrote, "One evening I invited Jesus Christ into my heart. What an entrance he made. He came into the darkness of my heart and turned on the light. He built a fire in the cold hearth and banished the chill. He started music where there had been stillness, and he filled the emptiness with his own loving, wonderful fellowship." Munger goes on to speak figuratively about how Christ enters each room of our hearts. In the study, he found some books that weren't appropriate. In the dining room, there remained an appetite for the things of the world. In the rec room, there was some entertainment choices that were destructive and damaging. In the hall closet, there was some hidden junk that no one knew about, some secrets that no one knew about, some things hidden there, buried there. And Munger uses this illustration to address what Paul is saying here, that we need to receive power so that Christ may dwell in our hearts, that Christ may find our hearts a comfortable home to dwell, that we may be surrendered and submitted to Jesus Christ increasingly every single day of our lives. Let me ask you a question today. Just think really hard for a second. Is the glorious, beautiful Savior of the world comfortable and at home in your heart? Is he going to certain areas of your heart, and will he find some things there that you like to meditate on that are offensive to him? Will he go into the rec room of your heart, and will he find some entertainment choices that you've been rationalizing? You go here, there, and everywhere without thinking very much. How does Jesus really feel about this? I mean, I'm his child. What about the hall closet of your heart? Well, what about the hall closet of your heart? What about the secret places of your heart? No one knows about the hall closet of your heart. No one. Jesus knows, though. You're sitting here, you can identify your hall closet. You know some things that are in there. No one on the face of the earth knows about it. Are there some things in there that we need to surrender over to Jesus Christ today? I'm praying that God would empower our church, but I'm praying that our church would be a church of people that are submitted to Jesus Christ. Paul says, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith." On the screen for you, let's talk real for a second. Real talk now. Real talk. Put aside the Christian stuff here and all the masks that we put on. Real talk right now. Is Jesus showing me something right now that I must submit to him? Is Jesus showing me something right now that I must submit to him? It's an area of
rationalization. It's an area of disobedience in my life. It's an area where I've refused to give Jesus full access to. It's an area where I'm saying, I just want to hang on to this little treasure here. I like it. I love it. And surely Jesus won't mind. I'll just ask for forgiveness later. What is it in your life that God's word comes to you and confronts you and says, surrender to Jesus Christ. Submit it to Jesus Christ. Stop playing games with Jesus Christ. Does he find his home in your heart a comfortable dwelling? This is what Paul is praying for here, that the church would be strengthened with power by the Spirit in their inner being, in their hearts. Remember what the heart is. The heart is the seat of the affections. The heart is the seat of the emotions. The heart is the seat of the will. And our actions all originate and flow from what's in our hearts. Jesus said in Matthew 6:21, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Now Jesus comes to us and confronts us with his word and says, is there anything that needs to be submitted and surrendered to me today? Because listen, we have to be a church full of people. And even as the church grows, more and more people who are living in submission to Jesus Christ. Is Jesus showing me something that I must submit to him right now? Some of you are seeing something. Some of you know of something. Some of you see it, and some of you are trying to push it down. I'm saying, don't suppress what God is doing in your heart. Open your heart to him and surrender your life to him completely in its entirety. Lord, let our church be empowered by your Spirit. Let our church be submissive to Jesus Christ. Imagine what God could do with a church like that, empowered by his Holy Spirit. And living in submission to Jesus Christ. There's a third thing I want to show you. Lord, let our church be not only empowered by your Spirit, submissive to Jesus Christ. Thirdly, let our church be this now, rooted in love. Rooted in love. Notice from verse 14 on down, we're going to emphasize 17 to 19 here. It says, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Why? Why do I need power? So that Christ may dwell in my heart through faith. Watch this now. That you then, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, you have to see the progression of the passage. Now, I'm reading this week, and I'm thinking, talk about run-on sentence, Paul. Talk about run-on. I don't know how it works in the Greek here, but this man is a run-on sentence here. Let's look at the progression, okay? We need the Holy Spirit to strengthen our hearts with power so that we can then fully submit every part of our lives to Jesus Christ. And listen to this now. The more we begin to live in submission to Jesus Christ, this is a game changer for some people. You got to hear this. The more we begin to live in submission to Jesus Christ, the more our lives begin to take root in the life-giving soil of his love. The more we grow in an awareness, a cognizant awareness of his love, the more we grow with an understanding of his love, because much like the plant or flower in a garden, followers of Jesus Christ in his church need the right conditions in order to flourish in the Christian life. And we need to be rooted and grounded in the soil of God's love. We need power to submit, to experience the love of Jesus Christ. Notice verse 17 to 19 now. He says that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of him. The love that the Apostle Paul wants us to be rooted in, you need to understand, is totally incomprehensible. The love that we are to be rooted in is incomprehensible. Its embrace is wider than any other love that we could ever know. Its reach is longer than any other love that we can know. Its altitude is higher than any other love that we can know. Its profundity is deeper than any other love that we can know. I want to ask you a question. Do you need to know love today? So many people fill churches looking for love, even sitting under teaching, still looking for love in all the wrong places, compromising in their lives. I'm asking you, is your life submitted to Jesus Christ so that your life then begins to take deep roots in the love of Jesus Christ, that you can begin to just comprehend that which is incomprehensible, his great love?
his love. Let me ask you another question. How can we be a church of deep humility? How can we be a church of people who forgive quickly and genuinely? How can we be a church who serve and sacrifice so faithfully? How can some of us right now overcome the feelings of unforgiveness and bitterness that we're feeling? We need to be rooted in the love of Jesus Christ. And the way that we're rooted in the love of Jesus Christ, it starts with a prayer. Prayer for power. Power then to be strengthened, to submit our lives to him. And listen, the more you surrender and submit your life to him, obedience does a beautiful thing in our lives. I just want you to know that. Obedience begins to till the soil of God's love so that our lives take root in the soil of God's love. And we begin to find joy and satisfaction in God's love when we're rooted in God's love. But I would suggest to you, so many Christians fill churches, they have no concept of this. So many Christians running after this and running after that and treasuring this and treasuring that. And Paul is saying, church, you got to listen. I'm praying for you. That's what Paul says. I'm praying for you that you would have power so that you could submit your life more to Jesus Christ so that you can know your life could take root in his love so that then you can begin to love others the way you need to love others. How can we be a church that is never divided because of broken relationships? I've seen that happen before, have you? Relationships, leadership, churches breaking up, churches divided. I've seen that happen before. How can we protect ourselves from that? Here's how. We pray, God, strengthen us with power. We offer ourselves to you, full access to every part of my heart. And let my life take root in your love so that I forgive and I don't hold on to bitterness. So that I show a love that is not my own. It's a love that comes from Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. How can you right now, the person in this room right now, overcome deep bitterness that you're feeling? How can you begin to forgive that person you think I'll never be able to forgive them? How can you begin to get past that difficult relationship that you've been struggling with? How can you begin to get through that? Well, your life needs to take root in love. And the way your life takes root in love is that your heart is extended to the Lord in obedience. And the way we can really obey is we need to be strengthened with power from him. And so, unless we acknowledge and embrace our need for the power of God in this church and resolve to be people of prayer and dependence, we will fumble along in our own strength with insufficient power. So, let me just summarize what Paul has been saying here really quickly on the screen for you. I'm going to give you three practical realities by way of summary from our text. If we want to be rooted and grounded in the love of God, write this down. We must pray. We must pray. In verse 14, for this reason I bow my knees. Prayer is not for some special elite leadership team in a corner. Prayer is for the whole church. Don't forget one thing that's happening here in this passage. This whole thing is a prayer. This whole thing is a prayer from the Apostle Paul to the Lord on behalf of the church. And the reason he's praying is because the things that he wants to see happen, the church submitted to Jesus, the church rooted and grounded in love, these things have to happen as a result of the power of God in our lives. Therefore, we need to pray. We can't make these things happen on our own. We need to pray. That's why I love to see our church prayer meeting packed. I love to see it because so many people are catching a vision. Not enough. We need to be a church that is convinced that apart from him, we are dead. We are dead meat. We have nothing apart from him. And so if we're going to be rooted and grounded in love, we need to pray. We need to pray. Secondly, we need to yield. We need to yield. By way of summary again, if we want to be rooted and grounded in love, we need to pray. We need to yield so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. The most loving people, the most forgiving people, the people that forgive in the face of the most unimaginable offenses are the people who refuse to keep records of wrongs because they are people who have yielded themselves over to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Sometimes I talk with people, loved ones, I'm just telling you. Sometimes I talk with people, I'm just, you got to forgive that person. Like, I can't, I won't do it. Like, what do you mean you won't? No, I can't do it. You don't understand. I'm trying. No, you don't understand. You need God's help and you need to surrender yourself to the Lord. You need to stop playing games with Jesus. You need to stop taking control of your own life. You need to yield to Jesus Christ. You need to surrender to Jesus Christ. So many times I'm looking at people, I'm like, your relationships are in shambles because you're trying to control your life on your own. Yield. Yield. Loved ones, yield. Pray for strength and power and yield to Jesus Christ. Lord, you have full control. Lord, I want to be rooted in your love. I can't forgive on my own. I can't love the way you want me to love unless you come and take control over my life. Pray that. Yield your life. Pray, yield. And then the last thing is this, is grow. If we want to be rooted and grounded in the love of God, we must grow. We must grow. Verse 17 to 19 says that you may be rooted and grounded in love. You may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. I want you to notice something here. Paul's prayer is so bold, so full of faith. He refuses to settle for anything less than the fullness of God himself. He wants to grow, and he wants the church to grow. He wants to grow, and he wants to go to a new level of growth. He wants to grow, and he doesn't want a little bit of God. He wants the fullness of God. He doesn't want just like this is a lot of God. He wants all that God has for him. He wants to grow, and he wants all the people in the church in Ephesus to grow. He wants every single person in this place to grow the comprehension of the incomprehensible love of God and Jesus Christ. If we're going to be rooted and grounded in love, we have to pray, we have to yield. And you know what happens when you begin to pray and begin to yield your life? You begin to grow. You begin to grow. Sometimes I talk with people and they say, well, I'm not growing. Well, I say, are you yielding? They say, I'm not growing. Well, are you praying? I'm not growing. Well, are you reading the scriptures? And like every single time, I'm not growing. It's because you're not yielding. And it's because you're not rooted in the soil of his love that flourishes our Christian life and causes us to grow. I want that for our church. Do you want that? You want that? I want that for our church. God wants that for our church. Now we're going to end with this. Notice now verse 20 to 21. 20 to 21. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we can ask or think, according to the power at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Really quickly, I want you to notice this. Worship team, come on up here. I want you to notice this, that our God has no limits. Our God has no limits. Do you see that? Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we can ask or think. Our God has no limits. I want you to notice something else, that his power is at work within us. The great things that God wants to do in your life and in our church, it can't happen because of us and because of our strength. It's according to the power that is at work in us. I want you to notice that God is able to do more than we can ask. Think about the big prayers you've prayed to the Lord in your life. I think about that sometimes. The big things I've asked of God. You know what I find? Scripture tells me he can do more than I can ask. More. Now he takes it another step further. He says, not only more than I can ask, more than I can even imagine. That means you can rack your brain to try to imagine the loftiest, greatest, most awesome thing, and God will do more than that in your life and in this church. He can. To him who is able to do more, far more abundantly than all we can ask or imagine. Finally, I want you to see this. The main priority of the Church of Jesus Christ is the glory of God. It's the glory of God. My main priority is not to make you happy. My main priority is not to make me happy. My main priority is not to build a big church where a lot of people come. My main priority is not to have an amazing production up here. Our main priority is the glory of Jesus Christ. The Bible says now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we could ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church. Not to him be a nice spot in the church. To him be glory in the church. It's all about him. Everything we do here is all about him. The main priority of our church is the glory of God. To him be glory in the church. Now, church, now, I want to ask you to pray this with me. Stand to your feet. Pray this with me. In your heart, Lord Jesus Christ, empower my life. In fact, you know what? Some people are doing it out loud already. Let's do it out loud together. Repeat after me. Lord Jesus Christ, empower our church. Give us strength in the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ, we submit ourselves to you.
Make us a submitted church. And Lord, let your glory be known. That we may pray more. That we would yield ourselves more. That we would grow. In Jesus' name we pray.